This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Did UVA baseball get screwed? Chris Graham here on Street Knowledge, and it's our first podcast in a little while. I'm trying to pick up the pace here a bit. You know, I guess I got a little bit into a rut with all the college baseball I was doing, and it's still college baseball season, but I'm done with college baseball for the year. Sadly, I have to say, Southern Conference baseball has wrapped up. My run with VMI, some games with UNC Greensboro. UNC Greensboro surprisingly making the NCAA tournament from the Southern Conference, from SoCon. I saw them play four times, saw them win once. VMI took two of three from UNC Greensboro in a weekend series, and I saw them lose to the Citadel down in Greensboro. But the Spartans taking the SoCon tournament, I'd say a bit of an upset, but probably not. I thought the Mercer team was the team of the SoCon, but down the stretch, Mercer struggled a little bit. Western Carolina came one late, but maybe fizzled out a bit. UNC Greensboro had a run early in May and then kind of had a lull for a couple of weeks there. Got hot at the right time. When you're in the SoCon, you got to win in the right time in May. And UNCG is representing SoCon in the NCAA tournament, which starts Thursday. This is being recorded, this podcast here, on Tuesday. So we're looking ahead to NCAA tournament action starting Thursday all the way through the weekend. Really Thursday through Monday for a lot of folks. I mean, the Thursday tournaments generally will end on Sunday. The Friday start dates for tournaments likely end on Monday. They could end on Sunday. The question I posed at the beginning of this podcast, did UVA baseball get screwed? A lot of folks listening to this podcast are going to want to know my intimate thoughts on that. And, I'm trying to play this one as close to down the middle as possible because, obviously, that we cover UVA sports really closely, have for a number of years. And so, Homer podcast, yeah, I'm going to say that I got a UVA tattoo on my shoulder. I'm a UVA alum. You know, two of my college roommates at UVA were baseball players long before UVA baseball was regional and super regional and College World Series and national championship worthy. And so it's going to be hard for me to be legit and say, oh yeah, we got screwed, and have it make sense. I mean, I think what I'll give is a qualified yes. And I say qualified yes, it's odd to say. I mean, this is a team, the Virginia team, 42-14, is ranked as high as number 10 in the national polls this week at the end of the regular season. Finished fourth in the ACC regular season, 18-12 record in conference play. Won their last six conference series of the year. Went 1-1 in the ACC tournament, if you want to call it a tournament. I guess the official name is ACC Baseball Challenge. A tournament is one where, you win a game, you advance to the next game, you lose a game, you go to a loser's bracket, I mean, all that kind of stuff. What SoCon did this week, and a lot of conferences did this week, the ACC plays, gosh, this year was an interesting setup, to say the least, with four three-team pods, 12 of the 14 teams in the conference making the challenge. And you played in a three-team pod, you played the other two teams, basically one game each, and the best record of that three-team pod advanced to a single elimination tournament that then resulted in a champion. Florida State emerged from that very convoluted way of doing things, which I say convoluted, that's a negative word. I like the approach. ACC doesn't need to have a conference champion. It's not a one-bid conference, to say the least. And so, yeah, I like the tournament. But that said, okay, Florida State emerges as the ACC Baseball Challenge champion, and goes from being, as of a week and a half ago, Florida State was a bubble NCAA tournament team. Now the Seminoles are hosting a regional. Virginia, which I mentioned, finished 18-12 regular season. Florida State was 14-14 regular season. Virginia won 2 of 3 at Florida State. Florida State's hosting a regional. Virginia is not. Clemson lost 11 of their final 12 ACC games, 11 of 15 overall. Went 0-2 in the ACC Baseball Challenge, including a 10-2 loss to Virginia. They're hosting a regional. Virginia is not. Clemson's 39-19 overall, Florida State's 38-20 overall, Virginia 42-14 overall. Again, those two teams hosting, Virginia not. Wake Forest 39-18 hosting. I mean, I have no quibble with Wake Forest. Virginia and Wake Forest did not meet in the regular season this year in the ACC or in the ACC Baseball Challenge. Miami didn't make the field, which is interesting. Georgia Tech didn't make the field. Two teams that Virginia beat in weekend series in May. That counts against Virginia, even though it shouldn't, but it does. Those two teams not making the field hurts Virginia's strength of schedule. Virginia 23-1 in non-conference play, but now this is what really counts against Virginia. A 238 strength of schedule RPI. Out of 299 Division I teams, 238th toughest schedule, if you want to call it the toughest. 23-1 record. You know, Clemson was around 80. Florida State had a pretty strong strength of schedule. Okay, so let's just talk about the realities of strength of schedule. Non-conference strength of schedule, I should say. Non-conference games are midweek games. Now, you play a few games at the beginning of your season until you get to conference play. You play weekend games and midweek games up until about the second week of March. You schedule teams to play based those midweek games, especially really all season long, are based on proximity. You know, if you're playing on Tuesday or Wednesday, you're playing teams that are a bus trip away. Nobody is flying their kids in on Tuesday or Wednesday for a one game, or nobody plays a two game midweek series. But if you're not flying your guys in for one game, so you're not going to see a team based in the Mid-Atlantic like Virginia, the northern part of the South, right around the Mason-Dixon line. You're not going to see Virginia play a lot of teams like, from Georgia or Florida. You're not going to see SEC teams busing up to Virginia to play midweek games. And you're not going to see Virginia honestly doing the same on a return trip. Because if you're playing an SEC team on a Tuesday in March, they're expecting you to return probably in April, right? I mean, that's just the way things are going to work. You know, major Power 5 teams aren't going to go, on a long bus trip somewhere midweek if there's not a return bus trip coming back your way. So, so those games are scheduled generally with teams within a proximity, you know, within your region, right? So Virginia's got some teams in its region that are, you know, NCAA quality teams. Liberty's one. Now, Liberty didn't make the tournament field this year. Liberty beat North Carolina at North Carolina in Chapel Hill. Liberty had a lead in the ninth inning against Charlottesville, but Virginia came back and won. Well, Liberty then went down to the Big South Conference Tournament and got knocked out early. Surprisingly so. I mean, I thought Liberty was a team. When I was thinking of the Charlottesville Regional that was to come, I'm thinking, wow, Virginia gets Liberty probably as a three seed in their tournament. In their regional in Charlottesville, and that's going to be a tough game because obviously this team played Virginia to the bottom of the ninth. They beat North Carolina down in North Carolina. Liberty's a team that could be, and Virginia did play Liberty. You play VCU. Virginia goes to VCU actually. I think once a year, at least once a year, or every other year. And VCU's a team that played in the A-10 championship game. You play ODU, a team that was a bubble NCAA tournament team. In fact, it was more than a bubble team as of Sunday until Rice surprised everybody. This year, Rice, a team that normally, a program that normally is almost a lock for an NCAA tournament consideration. This year, under 500 record, but then wins the Conference USA tournament. They and Southern Miss are the two representatives from CUSA, and ODU is outside looking in. Virginia goes down and plays ODU in Norfolk. ODU comes back up and plays in Charlottesville. So those are two teams that play a bus trip away. You know, so you got VCU, quality team. You got ODU, quality team. You got Liberty, quality team. You play these type teams. You play this again, and this is nothing different than anybody else does. It just happens that, say, Clemson is proximity from Mercer, a team I mentioned, SoCon. Their RPI was relatively close enough to give the Mercer Bears a consideration for an NCAA tournament at large bid. You know, they were outside looking in, but there was a time actually Mercer back in mid-April had an RPI right around 30. So you play Mercer if you're Clemson. That's a team that's, hey, you know, that's a quality game on your strength of schedule. You play Coastal Carolina, again, quality strength of schedule. If you're a team that's based in Georgia or Florida, if you're Florida State and you've got Florida a bus trip away, if you've got Florida International or Stetson, you know, teams that are a bus trip away, those are quality games for your strength of schedule, and they can make your resume look better as a result. Virginia doesn't quite have the same number of teams within a, you know, bus trip proximity for midweek games. And you know what's odd about that is strength of schedule already factors into your RPI. So to say that strength of schedule itself is something that's a consideration is odd to me. You know, it's a double whammy. I mean, hell, Virginia's RPI is what it is because the strength of schedule is what it is, right? So, you know, if you're Virginia and you go down and beat Florida State 2 out of 3, now you lose 2 out of 3 at Clemson in the regular season at Clemson this year, but then you beat them in the ACC tournament, so you're 2-2 against Clemson. All 4 games played away from Charlottesville. You know, you lose 2 of 3 at North Carolina. They're the number 2 national seed. You lose 2 of 3 at Louisville. They're the number 7 national seed. But you didn't get swept in those series. You actually won a game. You had a chance to win each series. You win your last 6 ACC series. You're 42-14 overall. But you're held down by your non-conference strength of schedule because you're physically, geographically based in Charlottesville, Virginia, far away from the nexus of the college baseball universe, where the SEC and ACC teams have, you know, a plethora of quality SOS building resume teams within a bus drive away. That holds you down from hosting a regional. Now that's the case that Virginia fans make, and I'm right there. I mean, obviously, I've made the case pretty strong myself. On the flip side of that record being what it is, 42-14, I look at this Virginia team and say, man, you know, that record is about as good as this Virginia team could do this year. There's not – when I watch this team play, there's not – this doesn't feel to me like a national seed team. It doesn't feel like to me a hosting team, just from the perspective of having covered this team, having seen this team play in person, having covered other teams and watched them play in broadcast games. And it's odd to say because, again, they won 3/4 of their games this year and were 23-1 non-conference. They were 19-13 effectively in conference. Again, won all those games against some quality teams that they played. But, you know, to me, you know, what makes a great team is you got a stud Friday night guy. Virginia does not have a stud Friday night guy. Bron O'Connor got his team to a 42-14 record with 19 wins in ACC play, not having a dominant weekend starter at all. And I'm saying that Adam Haseley, 7-1, mid-3 ZRA, probably not available, at least as far as we know right now, not available for starting pitching duty in NCAA tournament play, but a guy that, you know, put up some decent numbers. Daniel Lynch, the guy who started the season as your number one starter, got demoted to midweek, once again was to start the Friday night starter. He's a guy that can either give you 7-plus strong like he did against Clemson in the ACC Baseball Challenge, or he can get knocked out in the third inning. You know, the same can be said of really of any of the guys that Bron O'Connor can throw out there. And, you know, Alec Bettinger's his best pitcher, and Bettinger's a relief pitcher. Now, you know, I guess the reason Bettinger doesn't start is that it's almost like, you know, Artie Lewicki. Virginia fans will remember Artie Lewicki from 2014, the team that should have won a national championship, lost in Game 3 of the College World Series championship series to Vanderbilt. Artie Lewicki was a guy that started a lot for Virginia that year, but was more valuable because he could give you an inning, 2 innings, 3 innings, 4 innings out of the pen, and with a rubber arm. I mean, Josh Sabores in 2015, the team that did win a national championship, you know, had 4 or 5 inning outings out of the bullpen. Brandon Waddell, a starter who won 2 games in the regular season but was dominant in the postseason and won Game 3 of the championship series on 3 days rest. 3 days rest in college baseball. That is unheard of. You know, pitching has been a strength of this Virginia program, but this year not so much. This year not so much. And so you know, I look at this team and say the reason they win games is because of that lineup, 1-9, not an easy out. You've got guys like Haseley, a guy that at center, you know, he's won seven games as a starting pitcher, but as your starting center fielder, has put up amazing, and that's what his professional career is going to be as a center fielder. His numbers in the middle of the order, amazing. Pavin Smith, amazing power numbers at first base. You know, you go all over that lineup, and there are, you know, that lineup is so tough. There's not an easy out in there. That's why this team wins games. They don't put you to sleep with the pitching. They bludgeon you into submission with the lineup. Well, that's great, but, you know, it's a cliche, but, you know, the 2015 Virginia National Champions prove it, that, you know, pitching is what wins championships. Pitching and defense is what wins championships. You know, you're not going to outslug teams. You got to win at least 10 games to win a national championship in baseball. You got to win at least 3 games your first weekend. You know, Virginia heading to the TCU, the Fort Worth Regional. TCU team has been to 3 straight College World Series. Virginia beat TCU in 2014 on its way to that championship series loss to Vanderbilt. You got to win at least 3 games. If you lose early, and early being before Sunday, on the first weekend. If you lose before Sunday, you got to win 4 games. But you got to win at least 3 games first weekend. You got to win 2 games in the Super Regional round. Then you got to win at least 3 games in the first weekend of the College World Series. And again, if you lose before the 3rd game in the College World Series first weekend, you have to win 4. And again, then you have to win 2 in the College World Series championship. You got to win at least 10 games. And when Virginia won the championship in 2015, they had a 10-2 record en route to that performance. So to win at least 10 games means you got to have some pitching, man. You know, Virginia went 10-2 in 2015 to win the national championship. That's 12 games in postseason play. You know, you've got to have starters eating up innings. You got to have relievers who can give you some stoppage. You know, you have to have some long relief guys the days that you're struggling to get outs, who can just eat up innings for you. I mean, you have to. There's a number of things you have to have just from a pitching perspective to be able to win a national championship in baseball. I don't know that this Virginia team's got that many arms, that many innings to win a national championship. So when I say that, I mean, you know, I go back to you're seeding a field. You're seeding 64 teams. You know, is this Virginia team one of the best 16? They're right there. RPI has them 17th, so it's hard to say that they got screwed. You know, there were 16 teams hosting. There's Virginia 17th. I mean, yeah, they, you know, the RPI is not exact. I don't doubt that at all, for the reason I just stated. You know, you play who you get to play. You know, you schedule who you schedule, and sometimes the teams you schedule before a season don't live up to their own expectations. You know, sometimes you get stuck in conference play. I mentioned, you know, both Miami and Georgia Tech not making the NCAA tournament field this year. Those are two teams that normally you're scheduled against them by the ACC, and those are quality wins. You win 4 of 6 against those two this year, it's not the same quality. You know, it's not fair. It's just what it is. So RPI is not exact, but, you know, by that metric, Virginia was certainly a bubble host team. And then, but to me, the eye test says, yeah, maybe, you know, maybe not. That I say all that, and then I say this. If I'm in that clubhouse getting ready to fly out to Fort Worth, Texas, I think today was their last practice. I'm recording this podcast on Tuesday, so today was their last practice before heading out to Texas. Game Friday at 3 o'clock their time, 4 o'clock our time. You know, I'm not so sure that this is the worst thing that could happen to this Virginia program. I mean, yeah, you want to host. You want to stay at home. You want to play in front of the home crowd. Last year didn't work out so well. Last year, you know, that team was maybe overseeded and failed at home to even get to the championship round, if you want to say, of that weekend regional. This puts a chip on this team's shoulder. I mean, this team is better than last year's team. There's no question about that. That team posted, this team's not. This team is better. The 2009 team was pretty damn good, too. The 2009, the first Virginia College World Series team was pretty damn good, too. That year, Virginia won an ACC tournament championship. Easily should have been a host. Got shipped out west to the region of death, if you recall that one. Cal Irvine was the number one seed. They'd been in the championship series the year before. He had San Diego State with a guy named Steven Strasburg sitting there staring you in the first round, the first game. Steven freaking Strasburg. And you got Fresno State, a team. I think actually it was Fresno State had been in the College World Series the year before. Irvine was, I think, the number one overall national seed. I'm just kind of going on memory on this. That was almost 10 years ago. But point being, Virginia got shipped out west. Not only did Virginia not get a regional, host regional that year, they got shipped out west to this terrible regional, which they swept. Then they had to play on the road at Ole Miss, blow a game in the ninth inning in game one of a three-game series. Blow it. I mean, just totally choke it away. Win that one in three and get to the College World Series. So, you know, 2015, Virginia starts on the road. That was a team that probably should have started on the road, but they started on the road. They win on the road. They get, you know, break or two, and they get to play at home against Maryland in the Super Regionals, win that series, two come-from-behind wins, and then, you know, we know the rest. They win the College World Series. Starting on the road, I guess, with this program, now, some of the kids actually remember 2015 because some of the kids played in 2015. This program has an institutional memory of what it means to have to go on the road and play on the road and, you know, win in tough environments on the road. And maybe that chip on the shoulder is going to be a helpful thing. You know, if you play at home, you know, there's probably a different pressure. The pressure is we got to win. You know, last year, if Virginia's hosting this weekend, man, we didn't win last year. We were the 2015 national champs. We're 42-14. You know, we're carrying the weight of all those expectations on our shoulders. You know, that's pressure. You know, right now they're playing with house money. They're going to TCU. TCU, I just mentioned, you know, a few minutes ago, TCU's been a three straight College World Series. That's a program that itself now has pressure. They've got Virginia coming into their house as a number two seed. They don't want Virginia there as number two seed. That's unfair to them. They're pissed off right now. TCU's a number six national seed. What in the hell did the tournament selection committee give us Virginia for as number two seed in the region? Oh, by the way, we got Dallas Baptist, a team that we play in a regular season that we know is a really good program. If somehow, you know, Dallas Baptist beats Virginia in the first round, which is, you know, certainly a possibility, then TCU's got to play a team that's familiar with them in their backyard. So either way you go, TCU's feeling pressure. For, you know, Dallas Baptist, of course, is feeling pressure. That's a program that a mid-major that has done well in the regular season in recent years, but has not achieved in the postseason the way they would like. And now, you know, they play a Virginia program, chance to get a marquee win, then another marquee win against TCU. They would love to get that win. They would love to get a chance to go to the Super Regionals out of that tough regional themselves. And so, yeah, you know, Virginia, I think it's kind of playing with house money. I think it's one of those kind of things that you know, you got – I'm sure Ron O'Connor is a guy that he's understated when he talks publicly. He's a very intelligent man. He's well-spoken, but he's also a master psychology guy, and I'm sure he's doing well with that. So, you know, Virginia fans, yeah, okay, here's the thing. You have to watch it on TV. You don't get to go to the stadium. You don't get to go to Davenport. Don't get to watch it in person. But you know, I don't know that this is the worst thing that could have possibly happened to this program. So we'll be watching. It's Friday Eastern time, 4 o'clock. And Virginia gets at least a couple games. Again, I will say this too, though. I don't know that Virginia – I mean, I think we'll know – I think the game starts at 4 o'clock Eastern time Friday. We'll know by about 5 o'clock whether or not Virginia is going to how they're going to do this weekend. You know, the starting pitching could either give them some good outings or could make it for a short weekend. And we'll know pretty quickly, I think, on Friday. But we'll have coverage for you here on Augusta Free Press. And, you know, I'm not doing any more Southern Conference baseball, obviously. My service is not required by ESPN3 this weekend, which is, it's sad for me. I love doing the baseball games. Got to do a lot of games this year and looking forward to just kind of sitting back and watching some college baseball unfold this weekend. This is a fun time of year from a college baseball perspective. So I think that'll wrap us up for the night. Great to be back on the podcast. Signing off for Street Knowledge with Chris Graham. I am Chris Graham. If you can't be good, be good at it.